Diverse, independent, yours. You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
Welcome to Guerrilla Radio, recorded December 18th, 2024. Well, chaos isn't the first thing that comes to mind while contemplating the immaculately coiffed and imperturbably poised figure of French President Emmanuel Macron. But beneath that calculated bureaucratic blandness, the long-serving Macron has lost nothing of the burning ardor of his former Minister of Economics, Industry and Digital Affairs self, perhaps explaining the hormonal turmoil his second administration has wrought for France's body politic. Diana Johnstone is an author and journalist living in Paris and partaking for decades now the grand spectacle that is French and European politics. She's served as press secretary to the Green Group in the European Parliament and recounts the transformation of the German Greens from peace to war party in her latest book, Circle of Darkness, Memoirs of a World Watcher. Johnstone's other titles include Fool's Crusade, Yugoslavia, NATO, and Western Delusions, and From Mad to Madness, Inside Pentagon Nuclear War Planning, co-written with her father, Paul H. Johnstone. And her essays on global affairs appear at consortiumnews.com. Diana Johnstone in the first half. And Mexico's new president, Claudia Sheinbaum, celebrated last week the first anniversary of the inaugural run of the Maya Train, the mega legacy project of her predecessor and political mentor, Andrés Manuel López Obrador. Among the many promises made of the line circling the Yucatan Peninsula tourism mecca and its not yet completed connected interoceanic line was an improvement in the lives of the people where it runs. But that's a hard sell in Chiapas State, where my first guest points to, quote, displacements in villages, including Zapatista territories, as a result of armed confrontations and the government indifference and denial to it, and a, quote, astonishing increase in violence since the pandemic. Caitlin Manning is an American filmmaker and active participant in the movements against patriarchy, racism, and capitalism. She's author of Resistance Mexico, a series of films documenting resistance to neoliberal economic expansion and retention of cultural modes, methods, and memory in Mexico. Manning's articles and films can be found at her site, CaitlinManningFilms.com. Caitlin Manning and the Maya Train's promise and perils for Mexico's people and ecology in the second half. But first, Diana Johnstone and Macron's French farce. Welcome back to the program, Diana.
Thank you for asking me.
Well, it's always my pleasure, of course. Now, Diana, we last spoke in August of Macron's unprecedented political intriguing. Can we briefly revisit that in hopes of making what followed make more sense to people who might have missed us the first time around?
Well, very briefly, in the European elections in June, the right wing did very well and Macron's party did very poorly. And so he dissolved the parliament and called for parliamentary elections. And that didn't turn out any better. It presented a parliament with a three-way split of what you call the right, the left, and the center, which is Macron's people, more or less, with three pretty even thirds. And so the parliament is pretty blocked. And it has to be for a year because the Constitution doesn't allow a second dissolution of parliament within a year. So Macron is stuck with that parliament. He found a conservative prime minister who has since been thrown out because he lost a censor vote that was supported by both the left and the right. So now we have another attempt at a prime minister who is a notorious wobbling centrist named François Bayrou, and he's been named, and so that's where we are politically.
And Bayrou has already got one foot in the merd, so to speak, because he is refusing to give up his current job. Is that right?
Well, it's not so much that. It's that there's been a terrible disaster in the island of Mayotte in the Indian Ocean, which happens to be French. there was a one of these horrible hurricane things, and people were killed and injured. And he, instead of going to see what could be done about the disaster, he went to his meeting of his as mayor of the village of Pau in southern France, where he's the mayor, which showed he doesn't want to give up his job as mayor, because in fact he may have to give his job up as prime minister very soon. But anyway, he's criticized for that, for having put his little mayor town ahead of this disaster of this French territory, which is generally neglected.
And Macron is saying he's going to be going there. He was out of the country, Macron was, when it happened. He's been spending a lot of time out of the country lately.
Yeah, I guess so. He might as well.
Is that just the way his schedule unwrapped, or is he actively trying to dodge the press at home and what seems to be a deepening mire?
I really can't tell you why he's doing that. I mean, he amuses himself along the way. The Constitution keeps him as president for two more years, that is to say until 2027. And politics is pretty much blocked, so he might as well travel.
Meanwhile, back in the real world, Marine Le Pen says that she's busying getting ready for a early presidential election. She says, "I'm preparing for an early presidential election out of precaution." She says, "Because Macron's fragility," and she says, "Essentially, stick a fork in this guy; he's done," and that's the way it is. So she doesn't think he's going to make it to 2027.
That's reasonable. Estimation, but it's not sure she'll make it either, because you've got to realize that she's the object now of a very, very strong campaign of war lawfare. Remember how they tried to get Trump out by legal suits? Well, Marine Le Pen has a very heavy one hanging over her. The judgment will come on May the 31st. She's being sued for having used money from the European Parliament to pay the members of the European Parliament. They get a huge money from the European Parliament for their assistance, which is all kinds of people. And her party used the money to pay party functionaries who were working in Paris. Now, I am quite sure that other parties did similar things, but the accusations against her did not come from a general investigation into how everybody does this. It was particularly aimed at her and her party by the socialist head of the parliament. And the problem is that the law is such that in May 31, she could be sentenced to immediate prison and 5 years of ineligibility to run for any office. And that would kill her ambitions completely. That's much worse than any of the lawsuits that were brought against Trump, because it would absolutely knock her out. Now, one can hope that there's another politician who was also sued on the same grounds, which is François Bayrou, that is to say the newly chosen prime minister. And he was acquitted. She can hope that that's a precedence that will favor her to be, if not acquitted, at least let off with less than this draconian punishment, which would kill her politically. It's extraordinarily excessive. You see, I know that this is excessive because I worked for a while for the Green Group, and the Green Group also took money that was used for their assistance, and they just took a piece out of the salaries. I was working for them. They took a piece out of my salary for their parties. Nobody has sued them. Nobody has paid any attention to that. So I am sure that other parties also took advantage of all this money from the European Parliament for their own parties, but they're not being punished for it. But Marine Le Pen is.
Well, it's a pretty weak defense to say that, oh, well, everybody does it. But then again, if everybody is doing it.
They're not sure that was, you see, I think at that time, because this goes way, way back, they weren't sure that was not okay, because nobody was paying any attention. No, there's no control. And they didn't hide it. It wasn't hidden. My thing from the Greens was hidden, but I don't think they realized quite what they were getting into.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Diana Johnstone. Diana is an author and a journalist living in Paris, and she's been partaking, as I mentioned earlier, for decades now in the grand spectacle that is French and European politics. I don't think, Diana, people here appreciate fully the role of the European Parliament and how it interacts with national governments and how people can get entangled in the way that you're describing Marine Le Pen is. Diana, her book titles are, her latest is Circle of Darkness, Memoirs of a World Watcher. Other titles include Fool's Crusade, Yugoslavia, NATO, and Western Delusions, and From Mad to Madness, Inside Pentagon Nuclear War Planning. I think you could follow that one up with a second volume these days, Diana. We're talking to her, if she's in Paris today, talking about the chaos that is the French government right now. Am I being unfair, Diana, and characterizing this as chaotic, or is this just more, you know, French business as usual?
No, it isn't French business. In fact, what it is, the way I see it right now, let's go back to Europe, because the fact is, right now, the two main governments in Europe, the German and the French, are both in situations of no confidence. Germany's going to have an election coming up, France not. But they're very weakened governments, and they are, in fact, being run by Europe. The person who's running both of them is Ursula von der Leyen, who is the European Commissioner, who has, since she's been given a second term, or even before that, this German woman who was kind of a flop in the German government, she was sent upstairs to the European Parliament, and now she's the commissioner. And she had just going on doing thing, making decisions for Europe that are far beyond her mandate. And the European, these big European countries, it's like they have just given up. It's just that they don't exist anymore. It's like Europe has taken over. And, of course, Europe is Macron, so he doesn't care because he was the candidate of two things, the banks, the financial sector, which he came from, and Europe, European Union. And so if Europe is running everything, Macron can go and travel because actually he was a candidate for European domination, and that's what you've got. And now they're worrying about how to preserve. This is the most ironic thing of all. You've got to realize that Europe now is completely tangled in this war in Ukraine. They're pouring money into it. They disarm themselves to send weapons to Ukraine. Now, the whole purpose of the war in Ukraine is it's an American war whose purpose, along with the British, is to keep Europe separated, to preserve U.S. hegemony over Western Europe by creating a new iron curtain between Western Europe and Russia. And the extending NATO closer and closer to Russia, which was an obvious provocation. Everybody knew in the United States this was a provocation. They pushed Russia into this operation in Ukraine. And the whole purpose of it is to keep Europe completely obedient to the United States. And now the Europeans are acting as, oh, Trump may stop this war. We've got to keep it going. So they are rushing to ensure their own subjugation to the United States in case the United States weakens in that direction. I mean, it is crazy what is going on.
Well, if that is going to be the eventuality, it looks like there's a contingency in Georgia. There's a French national, Salome Zurabishvili, forgive me, Salome, for that, sitting as Georgia's president, but she seems like she's more European than she is Georgian. How is she regarded in France?
They don't pay any attention. You see, at the same time, this is amazing. I talk to people in France. They're not paying any attention. They are they are totally into French politics. They all gripe and complain about Macron, and they don't even realize that he's not running things, that Europe is running things. They're not very interested in Europe. They don't pay much attention to Europe. Europe is running things, and now those in the parliament pay attention, and they all voted to redo the election in Georgia, in the parliament, in the European Parliament. They called on Georgia because they had the wrong result of the election. It wasn't a pro-European result. And, of course, the president, Salome, is born in France, a French citizen, was a member of the Foreign Service of France, and ended up by a lot of magou, by some foolishness, being sort of symbolic president of Georgia, and now she refuses to quit and is wanting a coup d'etat in Georgia that will be pro-European, supported by the Europeans. And what's going on in Romania is even worse, if that's possible. You realize in Romania, there was a presidential election, and to everybody's surprise, it's a two-round presidential election in Romania. And the person who came in first was a nationalist named Colin Georgescu. And then the poll showed that looked like he was going to win the second round. And what happened? The Supreme Court of Georgia ruled to annul the whole election.
Because of TikTok.
Why? Because he was advertised on TikTok. That's what they found. I mean, now, since when has it been against anybody's legislation that you can't advertise a candidacy on anything, on posters, on long posters? I don't know. But this is the pretext. What this isn't fair. So if somebody is supporting a candidate, well, it's illegal if it's the wrong person who's supporting him, right?
Well, and we saw that in France too, where the elections didn't go the way that the people that really pull the strings would like it, and this is how we end up in the situation in France that we're in as well,
true.
Right?
No, that's not true. Nobody, no, they didn't call off the elections. I'm sorry, there's nothing.
Not calling it off, but this unprecedented.
You've got to realize that this is important. This is unprecedented. You do not have a Supreme Court going in and annulling a whole election. I'm sorry, that has not happened. You've got to realize that is more serious, and that is a direct intervention of Europe as a whole in the affairs of these countries, more marginal countries. Romania, it was clearly voted that they don't want to go on with the war in Ukraine. They're on the front lines, and it was particularly people who are living in Romania near Ukraine. They don't want to be in this world war when they're right on the front lines of it. Yeah. And their election is different from how you interpret an election. But the election, the election was not canceled at all. There was no canceling. I went through this before, and the last time we talked about how this election worked, because people, they decided to not to vote for their own candidates. It was a whole thing, but it was perfectly legal. It wasn't canceling an election.
But unprecedented too. But
not illegal. It was just a trick.
I guess I'm talking about the spirit of democracy and all that battered concept. In Georgia, though, I would argue that it's even more serious than in Romania, because Georgia looks to be being set up as the replacement for the Ukraine proxy war against Russia.
It can't be a replacement. You've got to look at the demography. Ukraine is a big country. Georgia is tiny. Georgia would be an hors d'oeuvre. There's no comparison. It's just that they want to harass Russia from another front. The whole thing is to get everybody against Russia. But there's no way that Georgia could replace Ukraine. Of course, you can send in other forces, and there'll be nothing left of Georgia. I mean, Georgia would not survive as long as Ukraine has survived.
Well, all these smaller marginal or satellite European countries, especially in the East, if they go the wrong way, and Slovakia, we saw last year their president, Robert Fico, being there was a an assassination attempt, a very nearly successful assassination attempt on him, and he's perceived as being an anti-European Union.
His name is pronounced Fico, he's a social democrat. Of course, the moment that you are critical of Europe, you're a far righter. You're an extreme righter, right? You're extreme right if you criticize. Actually, he doesn't want to go to war over Ukraine. It's as simple as that. He says they're not going to win the war. That's what people who are realistic really are not going to win that war. Because there isn't any winning that war. The point of that war of the United States is to make sure that Russia is the enemy forever. That's the purpose. And to harass Russia and eventually to try to break Russia up into pieces. That's the purpose. Ukraine can be in rubble. It doesn't matter. They're sacrificing the Ukrainians, and they'd sacrifice the Georgians, and they'd sacrifice the Romanians, I suppose.
And they'll sacrifice the French, too, if they can keep the money train spinning in the military-industrial nexus.
Well, no, because you don't just send money to Ukraine like that. You send money to Ukraine by cutting back on social spending. Mm-hmm. This is what brought down the German government, is the federal minister was a liberal, had a budget, and he was trying to balance the budget, and that meant that if you're going to spend it for Ukraine, as Annalena, as the foreign minister of Germany, this silly green woman, said, I don't care what my voters say, I will stay with Ukraine forever.
Baerbock.
That means you cut back social welfare things in order to send more money and more weapons to Ukraine, because you've got to keep denouncing Russia as enemy. Who, if we don't stop them in Ukraine, they will be in where you name it. Anyways,
yeah.
As the Russians will be there, because that's all they think about is invading the whole West, which is, you have to be suborned to take that turn.
Well, they used to call it the domino theory. We're fast running out of time, Diana, but Le Pen, again, she says, and as you mentioned, the international arena is where Macron likes to pose, and through the European Union. She says, though, that Macron, he no longer has any influence in the European Union and has been humiliated in the worst possible way by his creature, meaning President Ursula von der Leyen, or Wonderwoman, like to say.
Yes. Well, let me mention that. She has gone off to Latin America to say yes to the Mercosur trade agreement between the EU and Latin America, which would destroy French agriculture. And everybody knows that. The only people in France who react, who get out on the street, who protest, are the farmers. They're the only people, because their livelihood is threatened. And Macron, he said, oh, no, he doesn't want Mercosur, but he has no influence. She's absolutely right. She's right. He has no influence. Ursula just goes right ahead and does what she wants, because that, she figures, is good for German industry.
Well, one thing on the international stage, of course, and we'll finish, I guess, on this, and you can add a sub or a post remark as well. But on Israel, France has been unwaveringly in support, although Macron did waver for a moment but was quickly corrected. How does that play internally, this unwavering or nearly unwavering support for Israel at this moment?
I mentioned this before, I think, in our last summer. The point is that there is total support for Israel in the political class, the media, and the Jewish community. You see, a big difference between France and the United States is you have a lot of American Jewish people of all kinds who are very critical of what Israel is doing. And even in Germany, where it's illegal to be against Israel, there is a very eminent Jewish woman, Evelyn Hecht Galinsky, who is a sharp critic of Israel, although she gets arrested occasionally in the street. But she's a prominent Jew even in Germany. In France, I can't think of a prominent Jew who is. It's only the Insoumis, the left party Insoumis of Mélenchon, which has defended the Palestinians. And of course, they are being called anti-Semitic supporters of terrorism and all the rest of it. But everybody else, including definitely the far right, is pro-Israel.
Macron went on TV a couple of weeks ago, said, "You know, if you think I'll paraphrase him, but he said, if you think I'm leaving because this government, my government, has fallen to a no confidence vote, forget it. I'm here until the day after I'm not here, and that's the end of it." Do you think, as Le Pen is hoping, there's any chance that Macron can be forced out before 2027?
Well, I mean, let's see what happens on March 31st. Because if Marine is judged sent to prison and judged ineligible to run for office, there's no good candidate who isn't just a clone of Macron who can run. She is clearly the one who could beat him if there's another election, or somebody who's just like him, who is, I say, a clone, like Edouard Philippe. Who is indistinguishable, I think, from Macron, another centrist. Because although Mélenchon is the most popular among people on the left, he's very much the most hated person in France, unfortunately. So he has a lot of I think it's impossible that he could win. Whereas the hostility to Marine Le Pen has just diminished somewhat, as she has become very, very moderate. And I think her chances of winning an election are fairly good, although her main issue that makes people say that she's so terrible is, of course, she wants to sharply limit mass immigration. And that's considered the main issue of
well, which itself has become a pretty mainstream position, especially since Syria fell recently. Well, ironically, to finish, then, Diana, Monsieur Macron says his critics, are thinking about one single thing, the presidential election, and how to prepare it, accelerate it with cynicism if necessary. And ironically, he says, with a taste for chaos, the man who I argue from the start is bringing chaos more than any other single political element in France right now.
Yeah, that's true, because there's always this hope that if there's disorder, people want order and somehow think that the center is the order. The center is where there's nothing. The center is doing nothing. The center is passive. The center sits there and lets the financial markets and the European Union and Ursula von der Leyen decide what happens, or the United States, and they don't do anything. That's the center. The active parts of the political spectrum, which they call the extreme left and the extreme right, which are not extreme at all, they're the ones that are a bit active, and they've become very moderate.
Well, the center is not holding there, and it's not holding in Germany and other places. Diana Johnstone, thanks a lot for coming on again. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk after March 31st and see in the aftermath of Madame Le Pen's legal problems. Yeah. I want everyone else to stick around, because Caitlin Manning is going to join us. We're going to go down to Mexico and ride the train, the Maya train, after the break. Thanks again, Diana.
Moscow, Tokyo, New York. Guerrilla Radio is everywhere. Online at guerrilla-radio.com. Everywhere, all the time.
Chicago. Jakarta. Helsinki. Cape Town. Sao Paulo. Manchester. Bangalore. And somewhere in Russia, I can't actually remember the name.
Got big and began to grow, till it ran the show. Hundreds of billions of dollars a year, made by all the suits who steer towards maximizing profits, till they were the biggest on the planet, by buying up all the competition. politician by buying off all the politicians, by delaying what they then deny, by defending